Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Thanks for listening to Dusty and Cam podcast, brought to you on the fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Center. Doing the right thing since 1952.
Dusty and Cam in the morning.
This was never about money for us. It was about us against the system. That system that kills the human spirit. We stand for something.
With Dusty Hera.
I've had the old bull. Now I want the young cat.
And NFL veteran Cam Cleland.
Play action from Mark Bulger, firing into the end zone. Cam Cleland's got it. Touchdown Rams. With 2:11 to play, a 17-yard connection.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, hour number two. Dusty Hera, Cam Cleland with you on this hump day. Coming up this hour, college football parents are getting involved. The internet in sports. Some magical internet content from the world of sports. And Jadeveon Clowney. Could it be down to just two teams for the services of Jadeveon Clowney? But where we shall start, boy, DeSean Jackson, he had a social media post level 1000 yesterday of stupidity when he tweeted out or put on his Instagram page a highlighted portion of a, I believe this was a Louis Farrakhan book, when the highlighted part was a quote from Adolf Hitler, which said, and I'm going to paraphrase here, that because the white Jews know that Negroes are the real children of Israel, they are going to blackmail America and extort America for their plan of world domination. And the white citizens of America will be terrified to know that all this time they've been mistreating and discriminating and lynching the children of Israel. It was a highlighted portion of a book, and it was a quote from Adolf Hitler that wasn't even an actual Hitler quote. It was a misquoted portion of it. But immediately, DeSean Jackson, and rightfully so, was faced with backlash on social media. Where do you even start with this one with DeSean Jackson? Is it the fact that you're quoting Adolf Hitler or in using anti-Semitic posts on your Instagram page? Or is it just the fact that he just doesn't know? Like, he doesn't know the magnitude of what he posted.
Well, if we're gonna take this into consideration of what happened with Drew Brees, the one thing that I could see is that there might be a little bit of tone deafness going on.
Absolutely,
I feel pretty comfortable with that and understanding the situation and knowing what you deal with when you have ownership that is Jewish and understanding of what Adolf Hitler really means in the history of what he did. And I just trying to think that anytime you're learning and understanding during that time, of course, it's quite a while ago. I mean, I understand it. It's World War II. It's the 1940s and 30s of how all that stuff. I find it fascinating what that generation and the history of what it was. But to quote Adolf Hitler in any sense of the means to compare it to today's world, I just find it extreme. It's extremely bad look.
Well, yeah. I mean,
it's not even in the concept of understanding what's going on.
I mean,
there is an ignorance there, but at some point you have to go, I need to educate myself just quite a bit more.
Yeah. No doubt about that. And like, this is a situation where, All of those things that you just said are so true. And the ownership of the Eagles, Jeffrey Lurie is Jewish himself. Howie Roseman, their general manager, is also Jewish. Like, I don't think he even said it, that he didn't really understand the magnitude of what he said. And he ended up coming back in after the Eagles almost immediately, they posted we've spoken with DeSean Jackson about a social media post. Regardless of his intentions, the messages he shared were offensive, harmful, absolutely appalling. They have no place in our society and are not condoned or supported in any way by the organization. We're disappointed, and we reiterated to DeSean the importance of not only apologizing, but also using his platform to take action to promote unity, equality, and respect. We're continuing to evaluate the circumstances and will take appropriate action. We take these matters very seriously and are committed to continuing to have productive and meaningful conversation with DeSean, as well as our players and staff, in order to educate, learn, and grow. After that, I mean, DeSean Jackson, he took to Instagram to apologize, and here is what he had to say about that response to what the Eagles said in growth.
I've been getting a lot of backlash and feedback from an Instagram post that I put on my Instagram story. I just want to, first off, extend an apology on the behalf of me and what I stand for, because, I'm one that's fair, and I never want to put any race down or any people down. And, my post was definitely not intended for anybody of any race to feel any type of way, especially the Jewish community. When I posted what I posted, I definitely didn't mean it to the extent that you guys took it. And I just wanted to let you guys know that I'm, very apologetic, and I just want you guys to understand that it never was intended to be, to put any race down or any religion down.
And that, to me, is one that I just sit there and I go, like, it's quite literal there.
Was that the second or the first one?
That was the second one, video. That was the video that he posted.
Well, didn't he also mention he need to respect my opinion?
That was his first one. His first one was that, yes. Yeah. But
there were some things that were just like, all right, I'm not quite understanding here. Respect my opinion on genocide and what happened with, I mean, come on.
So, well, like, even in the second one, he's like, it's the way you guys took it. It's
you
like,
guys.
Well,
he doesn't get it. Yeah. He doesn't get it
and
yet.
And there was no disrespect to erase. Well, he, in that quote that's highlighted there, it's taking race, culture, religion, and saying that that white Jews will blackmail America and will extort America. You know, like that right there, that in and of its own right is something that you sit there and you go, okay, that is 100%. How is anybody not going to be offended by that?
Right.
And that's where it just like, he obviously just does not get it.
Well, so the Eagles dealt with this with Riley Cooper. If you remember, Riley Cooper was caught on tape at a Kenny Chesney concert, former wide receiver for the Eagles in 2013, and the Eagles faced, he had said some racial slurs at a Kenny Chesney concert, mm-hmm. and were caught on video.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of, the pressure was, of course, get him out of here, do all that. They did not. They fined him, and they told him to seek counseling and education.
And they suspended him for like a preseason game?
Correct.
Yeah.
So their setup is what will happen with DeSean Jackson? Are they going to educate? And I think that that's exactly what, I don't know, I can't speak for certainly what the Eagles are going to do, but they've dealt with this kind of thing before.
Well, and, if you're talking about learning and growing, and, the Eagles, part of the Eagles statement was like continuing to help him learn.
Don't you think Hitler is one of the things where you go, all right, 100%. I probably should just maybe ask phone a friend on this one.
Yeah.
Mix in some,
and this is where it becomes an issue, is do you really even need to phone a friend on that one?
Well, that's the other part of the concept of, are we that far removed? I mean, DeSean Jackson's not a young guy. Okay, he's not 19. He's not 17. All right, some of these things that we're looking at, I think you should understand what Hitler stood for with millions of murders.
6 million Jews murdered.
Ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Can't even put it into words.
And as part of that learning process with him, apparently almost after he did his Instagram apologies and all that, he actually met with leaders of the Jewish community in the Philadelphia area and is actually trying to make take those steps to educate himself. And he said, apparently there's a dialogue between him on what he can do to work directly with their community help fund and, you know, change kind of that view that some people obviously do have of their community.
Can we understand why not the backlash like Drew Brees? Why DeSean Jackson is not getting the backlash like Drew Brees did in this situation of the time of where we're at? And not getting the when I say league backlash, players, people coming out and doing that, there are some upset groups, but it doesn't seem to be, but it's both in my mind, it's along the same, it seems as like it just guys just talking before they were thinking about really what they were going to say or post or all of that. Just not really thinking through the tone deafness of that, processing it for a moment.
I do believe that there is a backlash. I mean, it's not as big as Drew Brees, and I think that the stage in which Drew Brees had his and the timing of it all during, you know, the heart and heat of the Black Lives Matter protests and all of that happening. I mean, that was just a magnified time to where it transcended the sports world. But I mean, there's conversations going on now that, you know, you have reporters saying that the Eagles are looking for ways out of the DeSean Jackson contract. But at this time, like, the reason being he's owed $4.8 million regardless, mm-hmm. and that they probably don't have a way out. I mean, you're talking about, if those reports are true, that they were looking for a way out of his contract, he could have been out of work because of it. And I think that is backlash that is noticeable, you know, if that would have been able to happen, or actually does happen somewhere down the road.
Yeah.
But as far as like the main, are you talking like the mainstream media?
Yes, I'm talking about mainstream media, because since that, we know Steven Jackson he was front and center in advocation for George Floyd and some of that and that network of that. This is a quote from Steven Jackson on after what happened, a since deleted Instagram post, former NBA player. He said DeSean Jackson was trying to educate himself, educate people, and quote, he's speaking the truth. So I go, all right. I mean, speaking of Hitler and speaking the truth just doesn't, how you interpret
that doesn't
this
and correlate.
No, and since, and obviously he deleted that because it's not going over well. So I understand it at this point in time where everybody is extremely upset. There's a lot of anger. There's a lot of passion going on. I think that there's this social media just continues to show you're not going to win, man, when it comes to not thinking through this and not before you post and look at that. I mean, there's no way in your right mind at this point in time when you mention Hitler that you're going to think it's going to go over well.
Mm-mm.
The message isn't going to get convoluted.
I also think that, you know, we've talked about this before, is guys not necessarily having their guard up. It's not like that Drew Brees or DeSean Jackson showed up on SportsCenter and said these things. One was Yahoo Finance and the other was their IG page.
Yeah.
You know, I think that they're not necessarily thinking that at all times, I got to be careful about this sort of thing.
No doubt about it. 100%.
Well, is it being careful or is it just being not tone deaf?
Well, that too.
I mean, because careful means that you really want to say something, but you don't because you don't want to offend. Then there's the part of just having a heart, mm-hmm. or maybe having an understanding of empathy of certain situations. I mean, being careful is with something that just says like, oh, I really feel this, but I'm not going to say it.
Yeah, that, I didn't mean that as much as like...
No, I'm not saying
like,
you, Buck.
No, I know, but I mean for these guys, like not that they should think, oh, I can say it in at this time and not this other, but I think that a lot of times these guys aren't really thinking through some of the stuff that they're putting out there before they put it out there.
Well, they're not.
I don't think Drew Brees meant to offend, and even if... DeSean Jackson didn't mean to offend. You have to think through whether they're offensive, not whether you're meaning to.
Well, and I think that what we hear a lot of this
but
is...
But the flag and Drew Brees are not the same. I mean, I'm sorry. The flag thing and Hitler are... for me, I just go...
Well, apples and oranges, for sure.
Right.
Come on!
Yeah, and they are two different conversations that they are, but it goes back to one thing in that, you know, we are so... insulated and hearing the same thing and not hearing the other side and not being a willingness to listen and having those conversations about how the other side of any of these posts or, you know, things that you say and the words that you use, you're not educated on what the other side of that conversation is until you come out and you step in it like Drew Brees did, like DeSean Jackson is now. And, you know, these are going to be growth moments for, and obviously for both of these guys.
No question.
And what is going to happen on listening to that other side and not living in the echo chamber where we only hear one side of every single facet of our life and how we are molded to have our views.
Social media world is a cesspool, man. That's it right. can suck you in and it just absorbs you.
Go back to the great Herm Edwards.
Don't press in.
Don't press in.
Don't press in, baby. 503-250-1080. This is one aspect of the NFL that it's been a wild and rocky offseason for a lot of guys in the NFL, and a lot of uncertainty still looms. The NFL and the NFLPA, they may be heading down a road that they weren't anticipating after coming to a new CBA. They're at each other's throats again. And could the players now have some ground to stand on to get out of early training camp and preseason? Dusty and Cam on the Fan. Well, labor peace in the NFL may have been short-lived. We got a new CBA. We know that. But now things start to hit the fan with the NFL and its players. One note of positivity towards the NFL before we get into the bad. You want the good? Bad first? We'll do good. They did agree to travel proposals and protocols, whether they're going by plane or bus, limiting the travel parties and distancing measures. So they got that taken care of.
Okay.
The bad news, though, is that you have the NFLPA president coming out, J.C. Treader of the Browns, who's Ivy League educated. We learned that when he was voted president. And they are, he's coming out swinging in an Instagram post right after those travel protocols were unveiled, saying that essentially the NFL doesn't care what the NFLPA and the league itself have their joint committee of doctors, trainers, strength and conditioning coaches that have helped develop protocols to bring players up to full speed. He's saying that they don't, the league itself doesn't care about what they are recommending that joint committee. And is just basically saying, we're going to do business as usual, despite the fact that they're saying you don't need a preseason. You don't need extra travel. You don't need fans. We can go ahead and have a 48-day training camp schedule that'll be as safe for players as not have or having two preseason games that they want. And so just saying, league, you don't care about our safety. That is a big one as far as the NFLPA and a bold statement from their president towards the league saying, you don't care about our safety and what we're trying to work towards.
I think it's an extreme example, but that's kind of, I would understand what a president's willing to do for his players to stand up and say that, because he's going to take an extreme stance towards that. I do believe the league somewhat cares. I think it's an overwhelming statement to tell you that they don't care. I do believe that they care. But they also are running a business. And where do you decide between the two? And that's the hard part, is that ever since I left the league, I started to always go, all right, take the player stance, but I'm also going to take the business side of this and look at it. If you're trying to put a product, can you take everything into and give everything to the player and then sacrifice business? Or where do you draw that line? And I think that the NFL's trying to dance between the two. It's like, look, we're going to pay you guys a crap ton of money. Everything you can, we're going to give you your salaries, we're going to give you your benefits. You guys got to give a little on this, and we don't know how to do it right. Look, Major League Baseball is trying to figure it out. They're struggling with their situation. At least the NFL has this advantage. They have like a month and a half.
Yeah.
They have a month and a half to at least let things play out a little bit. So to already act like they're not doing everything they can, I don't believe that from that statement.
Look, I think there's two things at play here with the NFLPA is kind of jockeying for position on. One is that they unanimously voted they don't want to have a preseason at all. No preseason games. Just give us training camp. We'll go right into the regular season. That's what they had voted on. The using health and player safety is one great way to do that. A, and then B, I think that this is very similar to what we saw in baseball, in that they are using health and player safety as a guise for the financial aspect of what the league is trying to do. Because yesterday, reports came out via the NFL Network, which is owned by the NFL. Tom Pelissero reported that the NFL is proposing a 35% of player salaries be held in escrow to aid the in managing costs for the 2020 season. So basically saying 35% of your player salaries this year, mm-hmm. we're going to hold in escrow for next year, because they're claiming what Major League Baseball owners claimed. We're not going to have the money next year.
Significant losses. So reports are that you could get, I mean, that Jerry Jones could make upwards of $600,000 per game. I'm sorry, $600 million per game. Per game. That's on a regular season basis. Jeez. That's how much the Cowboys' revenue. Now, that's of course not that. That would be the gross, not mm-hmm. the net.
Right,
we don't know. We don't quite know the net, because he's not willing to open his books. But there is, I mean, you're talking hundreds of millions of dollars of profit per NFL game in a standard year. What I call standard is what I hope to someday see again. This is not a standard year. So, if this is the proposal. For or against it, are players responsible for being part of the league and wanting equality when it comes to the league, asking for 50% of the revenue, not getting it? Should the players be part of the plan instead of saying, no, it's on the owners. You guys own everything. You're part of it. We're just employees. Well, I know a lot of businesses that took pay cuts.
Well, don't they?
I know a lot of businesses that took pay cuts
yes.
as part of the sacrifice. And NFL players... I'm going to tell you right now, man, if it gets us a product and this is going to be the fight that you guys stand on, I ain't going to support it.
You're going to look, but don't you view it very similar to what baseball
I
was going through?
I absolutely do. But baseball was in already. See, the why is baseball different? Because baseball was different because they're in a contract negotiation for their collective bargaining agreement. NFL already got it done. Players already voted. You already accepted it. You didn't like some of the opinions because some of the guys didn't do it. But at this point, everybody is sacrificing. And do I want to pick a side? I don't want to pick a side here. But this, I'm not. We need product. We need football.
And I have a feeling we will get football. I mean, it will. When it comes down to it, it will happen. And I think just with a league where, what's the average career now? It's only 2.5 years now?
If you're lucky. They say 3 because they want to make it sound better to round it up, but it's 3. It's 2.5.
And we know that the NFL gets the smallest piece of the pie of any of the professional sports leagues anyway, of revenues.
Yeah.
And I look at it and I go, so you got a 2.5-year career, where that means like a lot of the guys that are going to be playing this year, they're not even going to be in the league next year for that 35% escrow, well, right?
Plus, if you cut preseason... There's a lot of jobs and opportunities that guys are never, we're going to never know because of this season alone, just this one season, there's going to be guys that never, we never get to know in the NFL that we should have known. Every single year, there's always a couple guys that come out of the woodwork and suddenly develop into somebody that you've never seen before, or gets an opportunity in a preseason game, becomes a star in something out of nowhere. We're going to miss the opportunity this year alone of probably... I could roughly say 10 to 20 guys are going to lose a career. They might get a chance later, but they won't end up being the same person because of what the preseason is going to do for them.
Isn't that part of the fight for the NFLPA, though, and what the PA is supposed to do is fight for the greater good and the bigger portion
it's
of,
supposed
of the players?
To, but and from I can explain the example as best I can, is the players are just like kind of – they put a delusion out there that we're fighting for all of us, but it's just as selfish as the owners. Man, the veterans want all the money. They want stuff for them. The rookie guys are just coming in. They just want to make a team. They're just trying to make the veterans happy. And that's what it is, a veteran league, as much as you can. But you know, it's a replaceable league, like anything. So I'm always trying to say two preseason games, and that's really what you should be standing on. If the NFLPA jumps away from all preseason, it's going to be bad for players. You need two preseason games at minimum.
And I think they'll probably settle on that to try and get, you know, the other things that they want in the big picture. I just kind of, the conversation that we had around baseball was these owners, they don't, they're not talking and sharing their bigger chunks of the pie when they make more money, right, in the revenues, nor do the NFL owners. And so why would the players take a haircut when things aren't going well, when they don't get that bigger chunk of the pie when things are going great?
Well, because they already are going through the roof. Yeah, because they already negotiated.
But this also isn't something that was negotiated. A 35% escrow is something that was not negotiated, and the NFL is trying to get the players to do it. They're just saying, and apparently on their conference call, they said basically we told them to kick rocks on this.
And that's fine with the players. If you want to stop the league though for this, if you're going to shut down and say players, we're not going to play, we're going to strike because they're going to try to take us a pay cut of something you already negotiated, I don't agree with that. You want to stand on this vine right now? Okay. All right. You want to try to do this and posture yourself for the season? Okay, but come playing time, push comes to shove, get your butts out there and play.
Yeah.
Get your butts out there and play and do something you already negotiated. Baseball was in a different deal. They didn't have their collective bargaining agreement done yet.
And thankfully, they're not at the point where they're saying we're not playing yet. Yet. I hope it doesn't get there. I hope it doesn't get there, though. 503-250-1080. One guy who's still looking for work. Is it down to two teams? Jadeveon Clowney. Only two teams seem to be contenders for his services, and the Seahawks are one of them. But is the other team a better fit? Here's Buck with SportsCenter. As the Clowney turns, baby, we have one final big-name free agent still out on the market. Cam Newton is a Patriot. That leaves Jadeveon Clowney. Where will he end up signing? All the reports indicate he's going to wait this thing out till he gets an offer that he likes. And he hasn't gotten it yet, but it seems that it's down to two, maybe a third potential team to land the services of Jadeveon Clowney. They are the Tennessee Titans, which apparently gave him a relatively low-ball offer for him to come as far as what he's looking for, which is $20 million a year over several years. You have the Seattle Seahawks, which have been firm, like, look, we only have $14 million left in salary cap space. We can't really do much for you, dude. And then a wild card has emerged this week. The Las Vegas Raiders. Dang it. I did it. I started with Oakland. The Las Vegas Raiders.
Whoopsie.
Apparently have started in on the, should we sign Jadeveon Clowney? Mm-hmm. And it appears that the Seahawks and Raiders are two teams that are most likely to sign him. Yesterday, Bob Condotta, Seattle Times, said it is becoming increasingly more likely that Clowney does retain himself as a Seahawk on a mm-hmm. one-year deal.
Yeah,
which
really
one
does.
Is a better fit for Jadeveon Clowney, though? Well, Seattle or Vegas?
Well, the best offer came from, this is what the reports have been, that the Browns had the best offer. However, they pulled the ripcord on it because they just restructured Olivier Vernon, bumping him back to $11 million, which opened up some more spots. So they just must have felt that we don't want to wait for what Jadeveon Clowney supposedly would want to do towards the end of training camp. So, and that makes sense. But also, too, Jadeveon Clowney, and I'm on record saying this, doesn't want to go to a crappy franchise. Browns are garbage. And that's just not what he wants to do. He wants to go to a winner. Late in his career, he wants to bet on himself. The best place to bet on himself is to be around a championship-style team. And right now, the Seahawks are in that. I mean, look, they won a playoff game.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they have Russell Wilson, who's arguably he's the second-best quarterback in the league. I mean, that's just kind of how it works. It's 1-2, just my opinion. But I think that's a lot. That's an equal argument. With that, he could be considered 1 or 2. It really depends. Depends on who you like and what style you like. He needs to go back to Seattle and bet on himself for a one-year deal and then maybe hit it again next year and prove that he can have a double-digit sack season and also stay healthy.
Mm-hmm.
That will get him a huge payday. Stay healthy, double-digit sacks, and he's going to get that big contract that he's waiting for.
But isn't it the ultimate roll of the dice, because it does appear that it'll be only a one-year deal if he does go to Seattle, a guy who has had troubles staying healthy?
Yeah. Yeah, but nobody's going to give you a multi-year deal of what you want if you're not willing to prove that you can get out of the oft-injured mindset.
Yeah, and the Browns were willing to give him multiple years, and that appeared to be his best offer. But he even said it that he wanted to go to a contending team.
Yeah.
that didn't appear to be the Bulls or the Browns.
And that's why it's not a slap in the face to Vegas, no. But it's a slap in the face to Vegas.
But Vegas with John Gruden, you run a 4-3-2. You've got a team that, you know, they drafted Clelin Ferrell in the first round, and he did not pan out as well as they were hoping last year.
Yet.
Yeah. But then you have Max Crosby on the other side for a little bit of protection with him, and you would be the focal point of the defense.
Who's their rookie there. Guy that they had that broke his hand in preseason? I forgot his name. He really played really well, had a good second half of the year. I'll find that.
Was it Hankins?
Max Crosby?
Max Crosby. Yeah, Max Crosby. Yeah.
Yeah, you had mentioned it. Yeah. I'm sorry. I just didn't recognize the name right away. But yeah, he's a good player too. He's going to pan out very well. Had a good successful season. So mm-hmm. Look, it's Vegas. If he wants to go there, he wants to go there. But you're not up to par, and that's a pretty tough division. It's not like the NFC
really tough.
It's not like the NFC West is a walk in the park either. Nope. But at least the familiarity of what he knows defensively, he knows his role. He already knows what he can offer to Seattle.
You're already in a winning culture.
Yeah,
you're already there. Yeah. Whereas John Gruden is still trying to build it. And
well, knock on wood, if you're with me.
But the Chargers are going to be better just by health, right? Now, wouldn't we assume that the Chargers will be, from a health standpoint and the fact that they have stability in their coordinator position now, offensively?
Yeah. Also, too, where would Jadeveon Clowney get the best sack numbers? He can either chase down Patrick Mahomes.
Right.
Who else is in that
Drew
division?
Drew Locke.
And
Justin Herbert and slash Tyrod
quarterback.
Taylor.
Yeah, at that point in time. Would he get better opportunity if he's chasing around, the NFC West quarterbacks?
Well, I mean, Kyler Murray is pretty tough and elusive. Then you have Jared Goff and Jimmy Garoppolo.
Kind of statue guys, but still mobile.
Yes.
Mobile.
Yeah.
And get the ball out on time.
Yeah, that's a fascinating one. Because do you think, this is a question for you here. Do you guys look at schedules when you're thinking that if you're on a one-year deal?
Absolutely. You look at schedules every single year.
Well, then you'd probably be more inclined to sit there and go, Vegas, we've got, you know, it's not the daunting gauntlet of quarterbacks where you're going to have to go through. You talk about statues. They've got Drew Brees, Josh Allen, Tom Brady. You know, you got some statues back there in that division too. Matt Ryan is on your schedule, the Jets. And then Indianapolis with Phillip Rivers. I mean, I don't know what you would look at there and sit there and be like, is one easier than the other?
You're not going to sack Indianapolis very well because their offensive line's good. All those offensive lines are going to optimize based on who they have. So it's also, you got to go, what are teams that are going to have bad offensive lines? Where can you kind of have a run rough shot on that? And I think that's scheme too. The scheme that he works well in is what Seattle optimized him with. They're going to put him in that good position. He just needs to prove that he's healthy. I don't like him in Vegas. I don't.
You don't? You don't think that's a good fit?
No, I don't. I don't like it there at all.
Okay. Is there a reason? Is it just that he fits so much better in Seattle?
They already have younger talent there. The way they can use him in Seattle is very different. Mm. It's just very different.
Yeah. A lot of help in that defense too, especially when you have a guy like Bobby Wagner as your middle linebacker. Mm-hmm. Is a little protection for you as well.
I do selfishly hope that Jadeveon does sign back with Seattle, because if reports do come out and you get a sneak, and if you're a Seahawk fan, and if you do get a little maybe sneak peek of Antonio Brown there and they get Jadeveon Clowney back, you're loading up to go up against everybody else in that division. And you know you have to try to beat San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. That's what you're aiming for. And you're not going to walk in the park with LA. And certainly Arizona is going to be better.
You think they're going to go get Antonio Brown?
I sure as heck think that you got to kick the tires on it. There's no way he just shows up mysteriously with Russell Wilson at his private compound throwing balls just for S and giggles. There is a little bit of something there. There's a little bit. You can't tell me that. Why all of a sudden would that guy show up with Russell Wilson? Just mysteriously, do you think Russell Wilson just goes, "Hey, we'll take all comers. Here's a free agent guy that just a random guy happens to be probably a really good player. Come on over to my house where my kids and my wife are at, and I'll play catch with you.
I think
that just doesn't happen.
There's a big element of Antonio Brown wanting to do it as well.
Of course.
Because he did it with Baltimore and worked out with Lamar Jackson and his cousin, Hollywood Brown. Mm-hmm. You saw he was on social media trying to get that workout with Tom Brady. Did he ever get that workout?
Bruce Arians shut that one down.
Yeah, but no, I'm talking just like just throwing the ball with him. I can't remember whether or not they actually did, but yeah, Bruce Arians put the kibosh to that one rather quickly. So, Jadeveon Clowney, what are you putting the percentages on? He's a Seahawk.
I'd say over 75%.
What are you putting the percentage on both Antonio Brown and Jadeveon Clowney being
25%?
Yeah. So it's far less that AB's there. Yeah, I'd probably tend to agree with that. Fire up the helicopters. Parents want to get involved with college football. Dustin Cam on the Fan. All right, we discussed this a little bit earlier in the positive signs for college football at 6:15. If you missed that conversation and maybe regionalizing college football, check it out. Les Schwab Tires podcast at 1080thefan.com. But there's another angle to college football. And when we were discussing earlier the kind of where college football's at and it all not being terrible news around the world of college football, there is some good news in Notre Dame, Oregon State, and several other colleges having several rounds of testing come back all negative. There is still a want to have some sort of idea of what protocols look like on a grand scale. And now you are having parents starting to get involved. There is something called College Football Parents 24/7.
Oh boy.
That has over 1,000 followers on Facebook, I think. But they have drafted a letter that they've sent to the NCAA and athletic directors about COVID-19, how it's being handled, and who's responsible to care for any of the players who suffer long-term effects if they do contract COVID-19 while playing football, and what the protocols and parameters will be. They're asking the NCAA to basically go, hey, can you guys please just give us a floor of what schools need to do so we know how our kids are going to be treated. And it started with two parents, the Hinton family, who have sons that play at Michigan and Stanford and were both five-star recruits. And so it started by them, and they want to have just a discussion on, can we at least have a baseline, because they've got kids on opposite sides of the country that are playing and are going by different protocols and standards.
And what two schools are those kids' parents playing at? Oh, one is Northwestern, one is Stanford.
Michigan and Stanford.
Sorry, Michigan and Stanford.
The parents both played.
Both played at Northwestern.
At Northwestern, yes.
Yeah, the father's 58-year-old Chris Hinton, and the mother is 50-year-old Mia Whitmore Hinton. And she was a basketball player, and she also got her law degree at Notre Dame and is a former prosecutor.
They sound smart.
They sound very intelligent.
And litigious if you have a lawyer mom.
Correct. Correct. So one of two things, you can look at it this way. These are adults we're talking about, right? 18 to 22-year-olds. They're adults. Sure. They need leadership, and they need people around them that are going to help them. That's, of course, what your parents are going to do. I understand what they're trying to do and try to get involved. I think that, of course, less parental involvement in college is better when it comes to that. I think that at a very small aspect, it's be a fan, be supportive of your kids, but trust the fact that let them understand that they're there to be adults now. And then they made the choice to go to college, and it's big boy time. Right. That's what you do there. And hopefully when you helped and made that decision for your child, they're no longer a child anymore at that point. They're an adult, and you can go trust the fact that those are the people that you allowed them to go be a part of. You signed a letter of intent, chose that school for a reason. And so now you want to make sure that those protocols in place. I get that. And you ask the question, why do you need to form a committee? I don't quite understand, because what that tells me right away is that they have no confidence yet again in the NCAA and what Mark Emmert is putting out there. Because if they did, they wouldn't suddenly, or maybe this is the helicopter parent mode that we're in the world that we live in now, where everybody's got to be a part of everything. And, you know, Kyler Murray's dad's got to make sure that his son is answering the proper questions as he looks at his dad. And I, yeah, I mean, it shows to me that there's still zero confidence in the NC2A and that everything is just, it's the wild, wild west when it comes to protocol.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, I mean, we mentioned a lot of the questions that the Big 12 was trying to answer yesterday. Like, some of the ones that they're talking about here are like, all right, so if a player tests positive, he just has to go into quarantine. But what about the people he's been living with? What about the people in his position room? What about his coaches? What about the trainer? Is the trainer who's exposed to all these guys, does he have to go into quarantine? Like, they just have a ton of questions here. And they're just saying, can we at least get, and this is what it comes down to, the NCAA isn't even giving a baseline.
No.
Of what. Now, each conference and each program and each, you know, AD, they can go above and beyond whatever they want to do, but at least give us a baseline of, hey, here is what we are expecting at the bare minimum.
What would you do if your mom and dad were the ones that put this together? Would you be like, oh God, or would you, okay, mom and dad? Or is it the fact that these two are highly educated? They sound very smart. They're older. They're 50. I mean, the fact that their kids are in college, they're 58. They had their children later in life. So they were in their, what, late 30s when they probably had them. That's, I mean, happens a lot in today's world. So this is, what do you think? It's a real question here. Mom and dad, were your mom and dad, all my mom and dad did was show up to a game, cheer, be a part of it. Different times, different measures. Well, parents need to be active in their children's lives. I 100% support that. This is an NC2A question.
And this is like, you know, each parent is different. I mean, they have 1,000 people that are members of their, I don't know, club, whatever you want to call it, their group.
Yep.
But this is just, they're just asking the question of, is there going to be something? And Michael Drake, who's the president at Ohio State, actually, Michael Drake, did you see this? The president of Ohio State has been tabbed as the next president of the University of California system. Michael Drake is going to be overseeing the 10 universities in California that include Cal and UCLA.
Okay.
And Fresno. Not Fresno State, but like UC Irvine, all the UC
state
schools.
State or state schools, correct?
It is the university. So it's not Fresno State. It's not Sacramento. It's so University of California, Berkeley, University of California, Los Angeles, UC Irvine, those ones. But he's going to be overseeing, which is actually good news for the Pac-12 because he's the boss of the president of Cal and the president of UCLA. Mm-hmm. And so he's overseeing it, and he's coming from a pretty big sports school at Ohio State, which is good news. But I digress. He's the board of governors chair for the NCAA, and he said there is discussion actively on a daily basis, and they're going to be talking about it actually this week of in their support gaining for a baseline for the NCAA just to say the bare minimums are here. They are talking about it. But he said, this is where we have a problem. We have a 50-state organization with 1,100 schools, and health policies tend to be guided locally. So it's hard to even put a baseline in when you have states like, say, Wisconsin, right? Wisconsin had the Wisconsin Supreme Court. They've said it's illegal to have the bars shut down, right? So they opened it up and said, open for business are all the bars. Every single one of these 50 states is run so differently that they're saying that's the big hurdle that they're trying to climb is, what do we do if our baseline that we give to these schools is not enforceable? And so they're basically, these parents might just be told, like they often do, take a hike.
Well,
you know?
Yeah, you might be just told pound sand.
Yeah.
In not so many, in a very fine fashion, you should just hold up the hand and say, hi, we got this.
But do they?
Yeah, I do think that every person that goes to the university, I think Coach Cristobal, Coach Smith, these two coaches here and the staffs that work there value their jobs and value the young men that play for them. I think they do tremendously. And I think everybody does. Not everybody is perfect at it. Not like Mike Gundy walks around and goes, I know how to do it perfectly all the time. You know, they're arrogant, they're confident, but they believe that they trust, they appreciate what these young men are doing.
Doesn't this kind of show, though, that some of the players may not feel that?
Of course, but you can't make, and here's, I also do know this, you work in a business, you work anywhere, you can't make 100% of your employees happy. And not that these guys are employees, but there's no way you can make 100 guys and make everything perfect. What percentage are you trying to run at and operate at? If it takes 50%, 70%, I don't have that answer. But you can certainly do everything you can. And everything you can is under parameters that's quote unquote the NC2A is supposed to give you.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't. They don't.
503-250-1080 is a fan text line. We got sports regrets coming up next hour. And the NFL's highest royalties earner is a little bit of a surprise. But coming up next, Patrick Mahomes answers the question. Is he all about the money, baby? Dusty and Cam on the Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.